Coming up on Roundabout, Chinese quality strikes again. No, I'm not talking about lead-slathered toys or melamine-tainted toothpaste. We're going nautical this time. States are cracking down on dogs behind the wheel, and Family Guy rips on the Mazda Miata, and Papa ain't happy. Like a popular fried chicken fast food chain, Roab comes seasoned with 11 herbs and spices. Roundabout is sponsored by Amazon.com and by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next auto parts purchase.
From the San Gabriel, California Mission. Or is that the Mission from San Gabriel? Damn if I remember. Oh, I'm Bob Hall from hireme at $800anhour.com. Please.
In Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo from autobytel.com.
In Dearborn, Michigan, from rumblestrip.net and IMAX Web, I'm Eric Tritko.
From the dreary heights of Ben's second-story apartment, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm Tesla coil specialist, Ben Sanders.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I guess.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 102, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you probably missed.
Go us. Look at us. We're just rolling up that odometer. 102 already?
Ka-chink.
Can you believe
Ka-chink.
That? We're out of, we're past the certified pre-owned warranty period now.
That's right.
So we're flying on a wing and a prayer at this point.
You on that aftermarket warranty now, Craig?
Yes.
I've got to ask a question here. You know, before I left on my self-imposed exile overseas, they didn't have this certified pre-owned
program.
Now, what is it? It's they certify somebody owned the car before you did?
Exactly. Just like a reverse sensing system. You are now in reverse. So that is the voice, the dulcet tones of none other than Bob Hall. Now, I'm sure our loyal listeners should be familiar with Mr. Jim Hall, who we've had on our program many times and who is an integral part of the Autoline family.
Did you really have to mention him? Seriously.
Michelle, it's out of respect.
Can Bob just not be Bob?
He is
the evil one. He's the evil one.
Yes. Oh, calm down, Jim.
I'm Bob.
We have to mention.
Just another comfort stroke.
Michelle, it's called respect. The Elder Hall deserves respect. We have
Elder
to.
By how much?
8 minutes.
7 minutes.
Seven. Okay.
I stand corrected.
Remember they used to have the ad for Virginia Slim, the 7 minute cigarette? The doctor went out for a single cigarette. Okay, let's deliver the other one.
Wait, your doctor smoked those?
Actually, most doctors smoke Camels, according to ads you hear on 1953 radio shows.
Well, they were the safest. Had the most flavor, right?
And the cough.
But you weren't born in the 30s, where you was like
no,
the 19, 20s.
1953.
Oh, no, that's quite a slam, Michelle.
Nah,
he's not a Dust Bowl baby. Let's be honest. So, Bob
There's
Hall.
No dust growing here.
Bob, thank you for taking your time out of your schedule to join us. We do appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Like an Edith show.
So, as I promoted last week, we are collecting, gathering, reaping questions from you, our loyal viewers. We're going to have an automotive expert on the program in the coming weeks, and we need your participation. Send us auto repair-related and or maintenance questions. You can ship those off to roundaboutshow@gmail.com, or if that's just typing is just too difficult for you, you can also pick up a telephone and, I guess, type on the number pad, 1-559-ROAB-411 in numbers. That's 1-559-762-2411. It's our Google Voice line, and we'd love to hear your questions.
And, so, of course, if you think that it's an issue that you can't just explain once, you know, and have it answered, we'll arrange to have you live on the line mm-hmm. with our automotive expert.
Unnamed automotive expert.
That's right, unnamed.
It's mysterious.
Whoa.
Mr. E.
Mr. E.
Yes.
But not the guy on our Facebook page who said to call him Mr.
The Romanian gentleman, yes. Who was not.
Would you excuse me just a moment
enough.
Here? I really need to confer with Alex and Michelle. They referred to him as, we're going to bring an automotive expert in. Like, we're not.
Yeah.
I think a strike is in order here. You know, just because you and I. Occupy Roundabout.
Well, there's our episode title. There you go.
You mean you want me to move my membership from Occupy Sesame Street to you?
Yes. Anyway, send your questions in.
1% of cookie monsters consume 99% of all cookies.
It's true.
That's reason enough.
Our all-star panel of automotive experts will answer your question. Is your torque converter stuttering?
What is that, Craigie? I don't even
exactly.
What color is it?
Does your brake caliper have a lisp? Well, we will answer these questions and more. What color is it, Michelle? I don't know. That's up to you. Is it a Brembo?
They're red.
Mm.
Even on Priuses.
Well, Prius, speaking,
it should have been painted green.
Speaking of Michelle, Miss Shelley, I understand you're an animal enthusiast, and you have our first article, which also deals with animals. Funny how that worked out.
I'm a reluctant animal enthusiast.
Wait, reluctant? You have like a herd, and one's going to have puppies.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to have like the complete barnyard.
Michelle's Ark. When the polar ice caps melt. Better have a boat
ready.
It's
true. And, you know, I'm really lucky because in my car, when I have it, I actually have a cargo net that comes up where I put my dogs behind it. But I do know these statistics. And an unrestrained 60-pound dog, not that I have a 60-pound dog because they're both under 20.
Awesome. Yeah, but 60
my horse, though, on the other hand, is like 250. But she can't fit in the back of the car. Anyway, an unrestrained 60-pound dog has an impact force of 2,700 pounds. So that can really hurt in an accident. Several states, Connecticut, California, Massachusetts, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire, now all require that a dog be tethered, like a little seatbelt. That's so cute, those little seatbelts. Or be kenneled in cars. If you ever wonder what the force of impact is of Eric Tritko's own Lola would be if the Mustang gets in an accident, I'm no physicist, but I do not think that that would be pretty. I mean, like, think about it. 60-pound dog flying in an accident is 2,700 pounds. So Lola's like, what, 130?
350.
No, she's like 130 pounds. She's
bigger than that, I would venture.
She's like a miniature horse.
No, she's 130 or 132 pounds last time we took her to the vet.
Well, imagine if you threw on the brakes and that thing hit you in the back of the head.
Like, it'd be worse than a Kleenex box.
Isn't Eric's dog a chihuahua that was used in nuclear weapons research?
I think so.
In which case, it
she's
it,
from it Los Alamos.
Yeah, it might elevate, you know, levitate or something. Who can say? This is a mutant dog, you know. There was a 130-pound chihuahua.
One of the early series of Fifth Gear, which they're known for doing a lot of interesting crash test stuff, as I sent a video to Craig Cole to find so he could see what happens to his car when he crashes at 120 miles an hour. They did a thing where they had like laptops and other things sitting on the back parcel shelf of a car, and when it ran in, when it hit a barrier at like 30 or 35 miles an hour, and just the impact and the damage random stuff that you have sitting in your car flying around in a crash will do. So
no joke for a minute. One of the guys who was one of the first presidents of Renault after the French government nationalized it was driving a Renault Frigate, hit an ice patch. It looks like frigate. Ah. They pronounce frigate. They are French, you know. What can you say?
Oui.
But he had his
Who's your husband?
Case.
I forgot.
Uh-huh. He had his briefcase on the back parcel shelf, and when the thing spun and he hit the brakes, it broke his neck.
Jeez.
And they needed a new CEO. So yes, that's not good to have that stuff floating around. Use your car as a closet.
That was a government inside job. It sounds like it was too perfect.
It was government owned.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Charles de Gaulle one too many times.
That's right, you know. Actually, they mentioned it's okay to have the dog kennel, right? So you can put your dog in the dog kennel.
A giant box that can fly around.
What about tethering the dog kennel then?
Not required. Anyway, moving along from pets, Eric, you always wanted to be a seaman, didn't you? In the Navy.
Really, Eric? I didn't know this about you.
Now is your chance to sail the high seas. See the world.
Yeah. Well, giving new meaning to the term Chinese junk, named Zhujiang, this supposed luxury yacht is a $2.7 million project financed by China's Zhongang Group, and it was built by the Lanzhou Ministry of Transportation.
Is that a kind of grilled pork they serve at buffets?
It's easy for you to say all that, you know.
Yeah. This yacht, though, was rather interesting because when they launched it, it sunk immediately. Now, no word if these are the same people who are responsible for the crashworthiness of the Brilliance 6, which failed NCAP crash testing. Anyway, so Chinese transportation officials are saying that the accident was a result of improper handling from the operators who, quote, miscalculated the water levels, causing the rear half to sink and then causing the whole boat to sink. It's incredible that in a country that's been building boats for 4,000 years that they can't even get launching a boat correct.
It's pretty hilarious.
You know how there's all the comment about how, you know, the Mr. Obama is socialist and everything. Okay, the way you can tell he's not socialist is he handles PR. Now, the Chinese screwed this up. They're a socialist country. If they had their PR right, they would say, this was the first, not luxury yacht, luxury yacht submarine. See?
Well, it wouldn't be a luxury yacht. It would be a...
That's how you can tell a real socialist. They don't know what PR is. Okay?
It would also be a proletariat yacht.
But the point is, no, not anymore. No. Deng Xiaoping was the guy that got that all sorted out and said, you guys can be Chinese again. But the thing is, it's an opportunity, right? And what is it? The socialists don't understand that. Okay, that's where they blew it. No PR, that's the dead giveaway. They have PR, they ain't socialists. Full stop. Film at 11.
Well, yeah. So they got this boat launch pretty wrong, as obviously it sank immediately. Some other parts on cars, Bob, are pretty bad as well. And there's something that sticks out in your mind. What's going on here?
One of my all-time favorite pieces on a car is the spoiler. And by the way, which was first called a spoiler on a – and I'm going to get the year wrong, but it was a late 50s, early 60s Ferrari sports car, not a formula car, that was being raced. And I think it might have been Gurney or Richie Ginther driving it. And they referred to it as a spoiler because they put this thing on and it spoiled the looks of the car. Well, ever since that time – designers have been given the opportunity to spoil the looks of cars. And I pulled some images out here, and you look at like this first shot of the Saturn has a nice little lip spoiler on the Saturn Coupe. Remember the Saturn Coupe? I think I'm the only person in the world who likes that car. And then, of course, when they made it a red line, they wanted to make it a red line to your eyes.
Sure, so it wasn't a flat line?
I don't know, but that wing did that car no favors. Not that it was beautiful to begin with, but it was okay. But this, I mean, if it weren't for wings, you wouldn't have any Subaru STIs or Mitsubishi Lancer Evos. The guys, though, who take it, I think, and I mean, if you have to say, who's the serial offender with wings on cars, it would have to be Ford, okay? Now, some of the stuff was, you know, people in the United States were deprived of it. Like, they had this little Sierra, which was the famous Mercure XR4. Remember that, baby? Fine vehicle. They had this bi-level wing that made the little one on the Mercure look minor, and it put this second wing right across your view line of the mirror. So it was form-ruining function. And I guess when they did the follow-up car, which was the second-generation front-wheel drive Escort in Europe, that they made a Cosworth version, they raised it up out of the window line, which, of course, made it look even worse. Okay. Now, I'm sure there are people out there that love wings. That's okay. Remember, people actually voted for Hitler in 1932, so it's okay. You can like those wings.
Well, look, they're great for tailgating. Look, what you can put stuff there, and it won't fall down.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you could put – let's say you wanted to carry – it was a cold evening, and you bought something good. Perfect for Detroit. You had that Escort wing, and you put little hooks on it. And like the stuff you buy at the market that needs to be frozen.
Like a washing machine you could strap there.
You bag from that.
You could strap a washer there. Bob.
But where this went completely nuts to me is you had Ford of Europe, which is always doing its own thing, and then you had the guys in Dearborn. And then Dearborn do the second-generation Taurus SHO. Now, second-generation Taurus was a pretty ghastly car to begin with, and you think, you can't make that thing look any worse.
Until the cam gears slip.
Ah, well, look what do you want, okay? I mean, do you want quality? You bought an SHO, okay? It's not like you bought, you know, a Mercedes or a BMW. Come on. You know? But the SHO then, after these giant wings on these ghastly Euro Fords, they had this thing that looked like a skateboard made of fiberglass glued to the deck lid. And that was a wing. It was – I mean, you wonder, what are these guys thinking?
It's for downforce, but Bob.
Is it really? It did push the car down in the style?
It spoils it. Touché.
It's cosmic. There's something cosmic there. I want it. It's very stylish.
You're secretly an SHO fan, aren't you?
Well,
you love that narrow angle V8. Come on.
Yeah. When I was at Monster, we had an original SHO6, and it was kind of a neat car, but it's typical Ford in that it's like the people that did the first one weren't allowed to do the second one. And a bunch of jealous wannabes did the second one. And it came out looking like the turkey it was supposed to. Round rear window. I mean, what were they thinking? Hi. One of the guys was a German bloke, and he wanted to wear a monocle, you know? But they put the monocle on the back of the car to be very beautiful. You'll like it. You're Americans. Go follow orders. But there you go.
Wow.
Ford, the serial offenders, they've spoiled more than anybody else.
Speaking of offending, breaking laws, do you remember the kids with the cool parents? They let their offspring stay up all night, drink coffee, and even have go-karts. It was awesome. Well, the dad in this next article has the competition licked. A Michigan man was arrested by Detroit police last week for letting his 9-year-old daughter drive. Now, that sounds like a really irresponsible and reckless thing to do. A full-size van is much too large of a vehicle for a preteen, but the gentleman in question was wasted drunk, and his daughter was playing DD. Surprisingly, the girl was doing a fine job. No. Designated driver. Surprisingly, the girl was doing a fine job, and if it weren't for the surveillance cameras at a Citgo gas station where they stopped for snacks, the pair might never have been caught. Her father's loudmouth boasting about her driving skills was all caught on tape. So far, the man has had a court hearing and been released on a $25,000 personal recognizance bond. The kicker in all this? The girl had to use a booster seat.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, the scary part is, disregard the father's complete lack of judgment, is that, in fact, she was probably driving better than he was.
Exactly. She was using her turn signal.
I love that he has, like, the Starsky and Hutch, like, swoop on his van.
It's classy.
It's it's hard to beat the timeless lines of the Sierra, of the Express or Savannah. Mm. Beautiful.
I like how you can be fined and have to go to court for something that you weren't caught doing live.
Huh?
That did involve killing somebody or theft.
So you think this is okay, in other words?
It should be.
I'm not saying it's okay. I think it's just interesting that, you know.
Well, they catch him driving up, or her driving up to the pump.
She should be in trouble. He was the passenger.
Okay, he wants to take a bet on whether or not he's even married or ever married the baby mama.
He didn't. They're separated before her birth. But, yeah, funny story. I wish I could have driven at 9. That would have been awesome.
My dad let my brother and I do that with his Austin Healey, but he took us out to the Rose Bowl parking lot and just let us loose there, and we actually were quite reasonable about it. Well, we weren't on a public road, and we didn't have that much bourbon
at the time.
And an Austin Healey wouldn't drift.
Sad.
I didn't know what drifting was then, except Driftway I thought was a laundry detergent. Oh, no, that's Drift. Sorry.
I mean, I drove at that age. I mean, we had the 47 Willys, and my dad would just put the windshield down and put his feet up on the hood of the Jeep, and he would drink beer, and I would
you would drink vodka or wine coolers.
No, I was like a little kid.
Well, yeah, wine coolers.
No, nothing.
Michelle, was this driving like over to Terminal Island or something?
No, I grew up in New Mexico, so I was just driving over like, you know.
Countryside.
Where there's miles and miles of miles and miles.
Of nothing. Like, you had the Rose Bowl parking lot. I had like nothing for miles.
Have you ever been to the Rose Bowl parking lot?
Yes, I have.
It's just a smaller version of New Mexico.
It's true.
Well, Michelle, you're a lady, so you're always up about style and fashion,
and a very
right?
pretty one at
I
that.
I wasn't going to show you that live.
Oh, Ben, you love me.
But this is a love triangle if Morty hears about it. I don't want to be around when the first flying.
Can I have the pay-per-view rights? Hang on a second. HBO, I got a deal for you.
You know, Bob, like Ben has my face wash and my pajamas there.
He's wearing them right now, both of them, actually. Anyway, you're a lady. You like to stay up on the fashion trends. And I hear ponytails are coming back.
Well, I guess. I mean, apparently, according to GM Marketing, it's kind of weird. It's nice to see that GM Marketing and PR are on the same course, meaning that they're not on the same page. The Buick Verano touted as the subcompact, high luxury, higher performance car at 4 inches shorter than the Regal, but is just a lipstick on a cruise, is being marketed as having headrests engineered to accommodate a ponytail. Given that Buick's PR, I know, given that Buick's PR is trying hard to sell their wares to the male-oriented 3-series crowd, they really believe that's their like target segment. With their technology, I guess they're going for that small, non-existent segment of ponytail-sporting D-bags who usually buy into 3.
Are you talking about Christian Comeover?
Used market.
Used, yes, 220,000.
It kind of sounds to me like GM has hired Chrysler's marketing department. I mean, honestly, like everything I hear from Buick is that they're really trying to target the males.
Well, Michelle, there's one thing I wanted to point out. You said male-oriented 3-series crowd. There aren't any males that drive 3-series.
Yes, there are. They have fades and up close and
no. M3. M3.
That doesn't count as a 3-series, Bob.
Oh, yes, it does.
No.
That's used. This is, it's just kind of weird that they're doing that.
I haven't driven a Verano yet, but the people I have talked to who have all rave. They say it's a damn great car to drive. Have you guys had any wheel time in it yet?
Next week, Thursday, Friday, I'll be driving it.
I have heard nothing but good stuff about it. And
same here. Same here. But you know what? I love the GS was like super fun. The Regal was super fun.
The standard Regal Turbo is a damn good car.
Damn fine car. Sounds like somebody watched my video review. It's a damn good car.
But their target audience isn't women. So those ponytails, where are they coming from?
Those kids that would have the little stumpy one that's like 3 inches long, 2 inches long.
How about the guy that used to be an actor that now is a sheriff in Louisiana? What's his name?
Steven Seagal?
Harry Connick.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. do they have Verano's in the police force there? He'll be happy.
So here's what I'm confused about. I thought if these headrests were designed to accommodate ponytails, shouldn't they like have the holes in them like the old Pontiacs?
Like your baseball cap that you wear all the time, Ben?
Exactly, like that.
Well, you know, let me just I got to jump in here just for a second. Maybe
no.
Bye,
Michelle.
Don't
be nice to our guests.
No.
Just joking. maybe
he's having too much fun to leave.
You know, you can have it appeal to guys because a guy also has to think about significant other. Okay,
it's true. Trophy wives have ponytails.
No, when I was working at Mazda, we didn't do cars for women or for men. We made sure that both could be happy with them. Okay. Then we let them figure out what it's like. The old thing: we're going to position this car in this location. The manufacturer doesn't position the car; the customers do.
So you're saying you sold cars to transgender folk?
If their money spends as well as anybody else's, okay, even rednecks. But no, I guess the point being here that you can do a car that is focused at men and targeted at men, but it's got to make women happy too.
Well, if they've got room for a ponytail, there's lots of growth there, right?
Could be. I mean, I wouldn't know about hair and ponytails and, you know.
I have some growth. Can you see? I need a haircut, so.
It's nearly an inch and a half.
I have a growth up here, but that's another story I'll tell.
Well, that's a different podcast.
Eric, why don't you change the subject for us quickly?
Yeah, so the Marchi Mobile LMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMMM it doesn't hurt that I already have a natural stutter anyways.
That would be the Pinot talking.
The what?
Pinot Grigio.
Oh, the Pinot, no. Tagged as a mansion on wheels with a functional fireplace. While it's not the most opulent RV that we've ever talked about on the roundabout, it's certainly one of the most stylistically challenged. The nose of the machine looks like something between a 60s acid trip with elements of the GM Futureliner, while from the cabin portion back, it looks like a luxury yacht from the late 90s.
Chinese luxury yacht?
Not a Chinese one, I hope.
No, more late 90s Italian yacht styling where it's all white with a...
It's like Cyclops. It's
swooping
creepy.
Band of black glass on it to give it a, you know, a certain look. Yeah, that's why I said the future liner part comes from the fact that you drive from the center and it has this big center window in it and two smaller windows off to the side.
I wonder if Gordon Murray was involved with that.
Well, Bob, you know what this reminds me of? Car Dominium. Car Dominium. This would be a great foundation, wouldn't it?
It would be the best foundation for the Car Dominium, absolutely. Yeah, I've got to go check about some property for the Car Dominium.
So do you have to explain to us, what's the Car Dominium?
The Car Dominium is a new housing development that's it uses automobiles, okay, as kind of modules. And you could make it really kind of modern and futuristic where you approach from the top and there's like a nice lawn and you walk down the stairs to the side. And here's like a half-buried Mitsubishi Diamante. Okay. And that would be like the first home. Okay, this would definitely be either Mondo condo or maybe the Palazzo. Car Dominium coming soon.
Could you build it
in? In other words, you spent too much time at the Earthship complex in New Mexico, didn't you, Bob?
No, actually, the Capitol building, the Parliament in Australia, is built like that. It's partially underground. You can go play football, what you call soccer here, on the roof. And actually, most of the politicians would be better off doing that.
Well, Bob, you mentioned you're looking for real estate, perhaps in the Car Dominican Republic.
Ah, what a perfect place for it. Absolutely.
Exactly. But my God, Eric, this thing is hideous.
Yeah,
Cyclops.
Yeah, like the where you would expect the grill to be is actually higher than, I don't know. It's just, it's a whole lot of backwards on this thing. And Jeremy Clarkson in one of the Top Gear segments where they all built their own RVs, this sort of has elements of that in it. It just is very, very odd. And then it has several different interior configurations of the car. And it could be anywhere from something which is very, very nice and minimalistic to something so gaudy it makes the interior of a house, Housewives of New Jersey's home, look like something that's ready for Architectural Digest.
You know what it reminds me of is one of those fish that lies on the bottom of the ocean.
The coelacanth.
Yeah,
it is a bottom feeder. It does have a very bottom feeder look to it.
The driver is the bottom feeder.
The mouth breather.
Zing.
You know what, Bob?
What?
It seems today that on TV, violence in movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Too many violins on television. Oh, no, that's the symphony orchestra.
It's all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
We're lucky there's a Family Guy.
Yeah.
Lucky there's a Family Guy, Craig.
We're lucky somebody's picking it up. Thank you, Ben.
What kind of family would be involved in that sort of thing?
You are the father, undisputed champion. You sired a very important car, a sports car, no less. The Mazda Miata.
The MX-3.
Yes, the Mazda Miata.
Rodosta. You know the Rodosta.
You are the father. That is your progeny.
Well, we came across this week a clip from Family Guy that mentions said car. And let's start off by playing that clip.
Oh, cool. I like stuff that's promotional.
I will. My name is Greg, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Greg.
One fateful night, I got behind the wheel of my brand-new sports car, flying drunk. I was responsible for the death of an innocent 8-year-old girl.
What kind?
What?
What kind of car? You said he had a sports car. That's cool, but what kind?
It was a Miata.
Oh, come on. That's not a sports car. How does that even kill a kid? What, to hit her over the head with it?
That's a legitimate sports car.
No. Next. Jimmy.
Words gotta hurt, Bob.
It doesn't really, okay? It doesn't really. The whole thing is, what's a sports car, okay?
2002 Ford Focus ZX3.
ZX3, I'm getting excited.
Every time he comes on Roundabout, he's getting excited.
Mercury Capri. First of all, the Miata ain't about fast. You know, remember, if you can't go fast with 90 horsepower, 900 isn't going to help you. Okay, and the Miata is—it's a fun car. If people think that's a sports car, great. If they don't think it's a sports car, great. Because most of the people that bitch and moan about it and say it ain't a sports car have never driven one.
It's awesome. Okay. I had one a few days ago.
They look forward to things like 1968 Novas, you know, and other quality rides. But that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, do you remember like when it was being introduced in Southern California and there used to be that wild animal park in Orange County that is now where the Verizon Amphitheater was, right?
Yeah, Lion Country Safari.
Exactly, Lion Country Safari. And they did like a initial consumer email of like hand raisers that were interested. And I think they sent it out to like 5,000 people. And they were supposed to be these consumers are supposed to be coming to, you know, get their chance to drive the Miata when it was introduced. And people were so excited about it. They had over 75,000 responses.
Wow.
Yep. Right? I mean, it started selling at over $50,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people who had early deliveries and were offering them up. Yeah, no, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. So, you know, my viewpoint on it is that you know, and a lot of the people, it was funny to read on that website which had posted that, read some of the comments. And there's an old saying that the best car you've driven is the best car you know. And it's pretty obvious, you know, these guys haven't driven a lot of cars. Okay. And I particularly like the ones that say it's not a sports car and they've never driven it. That's okay. You know, they're entitled to an opinion.
Is it a family sedan?
No, it's a chick car.
Okay. I got to tell you something on this. It is a chick car. Make no bones about it. Okay. That's because I always thought it'd be neat to have a car that attracted women.
Oh, burn.
Okay. Some guys might not. They might want a car that attracts guys. They can buy a Chevelle with a big engine. That's okay. But that was you know, just me. It's okay. If somebody wants a car to attract guys, that's cool. But bitch, it's a chick car. So yeah, it attracts women. You got a problem with that? Cool.
I've only known one woman that ever had one. And the rest of the people that I know that have them or have had them were guys. And the one woman I know that had it only wanted to get laid by guys.
Really? Well, that's convenient.
Well, the hood was aluminum, so you wouldn't want to do it there.
All right. So, well,
Bob, go ahead, Eric.
Father of the Miata, what's your thought on adding an engine that only weighs, or changing out the engine that only weighs about 100, 150 pounds more, but has four times the horsepower? And putting it in there.
If that's what you're after, great. Go right ahead. You know, we had looked. It's like we had. Yeah, remember when we did this car, we had a glass ceiling because we couldn't make it better, faster than an RX-7.
Right.
So we focused on making it so much fun that you know you drive the car, you can't help smile. And it was a different direction.
I know.
If you want more power and such, that's great. The option's there. Okay.
But the fun was there.
It's not what the car's about. Okay, and again, if you miss that part, that's okay. If you buy the car, I couldn't care less.
No,
and
the
I
best part.
Mazda anymore.
The best part of a Miata is that you can drive that car at 90% at fairly legal speeds, and have more of a challenge to your driving skill than you could at saying a Porsche GT3 RS, which on the road, even if you're pushing hard, you're using 30% of the capability of the car, and you're, you know, at three times the legal speed limit. So it's, you know, in a sense, you're actually working it harder than, you know, than anything else, unless you can get to a track. So,
you know, we had a thing, and I mentioned earlier about chick cars, male focused, female. We did that car gender neutral. Okay. The only thing we did do, we had this funny sign that the Japanese particularly, we put it up. This is in Japan. They looked at it and said, can you explain that? The sign said, it must be a good Corolla. And the Japanese image of a sports car is it's a vehicle you drive only on the weekends and only to go to an event. And we said, we want it so you can drive it every day if you need to. You know, if you do shopping, you can put some groceries in it. Not a lot, but you can put some in. But for single people, for some people, it'd be the only car they had. And thus, therefore, it had to be a decent, basic automobile.
Livable car.
It had to put this big grin on your face. So we were working with a real different set of parameters than most people do on performance cars. And, you know, if somebody wants to put a V8 in it, great.
Can you explain what – were you the designer of the car, chief engineer? What role did you play in the Miata?
I came up with this dumbass concept of having it rear drive and having it a convertible and the basic kind of dimensional package of the car and kind of what it was supposed to be about, not maximum G-force cornering and this, that, and the other thing. A lot of people did. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of father of Miata. If you had to give one person – the job, it would probably be Toshihiko Hirai, who was the program manager, because he took all these crazy ideas and he made it into a real car. Okay.
So you're godfather.
And where is he now?
He's actually a uni prof in Hiroshima. He's teaching engineering in Hiroshima. Good engineer, too. Damn good engineer. And the guy he handed it to, Kijima-san was one of the original chassis guys. He knows the car inside and out. So it's been a good group doing it. And I'll be honest, the first generation car I like for a number of reasons being involved with it. The third generation car, the current one, I like second most, particularly the facelift. The original version, they had some front suspension problems and didn't handle as brilliantly as it could. But the second generation car, I have to admit, I'm not a fan of. Okay, it just kind of got a little bit heavy and stupid and had nothing to show for it. Okay, and it went from – when we did the original car, we had a document, one page in the vehicle concept that said, let's design this car so we don't have to change it for 10 years. So it kept the design relatively simple. The second car went very state of the moment with the scallop sides and the curve, this and that, and it aged a lot faster.
Yeah, today's car I think is very pretty.
The only reason that
– blast to drive. Oh.
The only reason I can't own a Miata, Lola won't fit.
Mm-hmm. So we actually have a question from the chat room.
Yes.
Crayon Breaking is saying, how much has the Miata grown in size from the beginning?
A lot, okay? And not only part of it was because there were complaints about people over a certain size, like about 5'3", being able to get it. No, it wasn't that bad. but some of it was done to accommodate the people who wanted more space. We did that. But another aspect was the safety, okay? You need to meet the new standards they have. You need more real estate. The car's got to be physically bigger to give you crash zones, and that's one reason the cars, every car, take your pick, has gotten bigger. You want to see bigger? Look an original Mini and park it next to a current Mini. Okay, so it's appreciably larger. I would say the car is probably as large, if not a frag longer, than the FC second generation RX-7 was, which was out when we launched the original Miata in 1989.
Right,
but. Most cars, that happens. And again, it's a side effect of modern cars, that and increased weight. And now you've got to find ways to back down on the weight, because that will be something you can address more easily than energy management when you make the car small.
Just cut safety. That's what I say.
What the hell you need that for?
It's overrated.
Is it typically longer rather than wider that happens?
Yeah. Usually what happens, I'll tell you a funny thing with the car. When you widen the car, let's say by an inch, or you lengthen a car by an inch, you actually add more weight widening it than lengthening it. Okay? Width is usually to accommodate people. Now, there is an aspect that comes from width increase on side impact. Initially, with the side impact laws, some people thought you had to put the body as close to the door as possible. Okay? And the theory was the acceleration rate of the body wouldn't go farther than the door would. That was the theory. Now you look, they like a little bit more real estate there. So there is a factor of safety, but most of the increases that we've seen, the biggest increases on a percentage basis, have been in length to meet front and rear crush standards. Does that help your chat room person?
Yeah, you know, we have one more question from the chat room, actually. They want to know if you have any information about the next Miata.
You know, one of my favorite movies ever made is The Third Man by Harold Reed. That is a great film. Even though there aren't any cars in it, there's a Jeep in it. It's a great movie. I strongly suggest you all see it. Orson Welles is in the movie for 17 minutes, and he steals the whole movie. It's great.
He's like, what's that guy's name where he eats the people?
Eats the people.
Silence of the Lambs, that guy.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That's Meats. Sorry.
Touché! Oh, that's brilliant. Well, Bob, thank you for your Mazda analysis there. That is interesting stuff, yes.
But I'm sleepy after all that. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I think it's time.
Can we have nap time now?
No. Yay. Well, you guys can nap when I read my next story, which happens to be...
A Roab on sequitur.
A Roab on sequitur?
Not sequitur.
All
Did
right.
I tell you about how I...
Nap time, Michelle. All right. Why can't I shower while driving? How come there isn't a combination microwave television, the Microvision? When will it be possible to grow animals on trees? Unfortunately, for now at least, the answers to these questions only exist in the realm of science fiction, but everyday researchers are unlocking solutions to these troubling issues. In fact, according to Gizmag.com, a Brooklyn inventor just figured out how to sleep while standing up, and outside, no less. My mind is blown, too. He's come up with a contraption that looks like a metal skeleton. It attaches to subway air vents outside on New York sidewalks, and it supports a user's body in all the right places, although it does not look comfortable. It comes with a pair of dark sunglasses, some noise-canceling headphones, and even an umbrella, you know, for protection from the elements. Best of all, the whole kit and caboodle fits in a suitcase. Now hipsters can sleep on the streets and not look like a vagrant. Could you imagine taking a nap out on a busy sidewalk in New York? No, thank you. Let's hope this stays in the concept.
Now, I think you've got a guy there with a designer, an engineer, an inventor, whatever, with far too much time on his hands.
I agree.
He should be watching The Family Guy, I think.
He shouldn't just be watching Family Guy. He should be watching The Family Guy.
Yes.
It deserves the definite article, because there is only one Family Guy.
I'm still trying to figure out why the hell you would even want to do this in the first place.
Look how
it's an opportunity to be robbed, tagged with spray paint,
yes.
Raped,
make the news.
Okay, hang on, urinated upon. Yes. He's asleep.
Well,
it's
I guess
okay.
There is a big market currently in New York for this. It's all the Occupy Wall Street people,
right?
They can sleep more efficiently in a vertical position. You can stack more people in a given area. Brilliant.
And one other benefit I see with winter coming is that there would be warm air coming out of the subway vents, okay?
Oh, brilliant. See, he's thinking ahead. It's environmentally friendly. It's taking waste heat and putting it to good use.
Mm. He's not in his parents' basement.
Everyone's a comedian. So, yeah, check out the pictures. Check out the pictures, roundaboutshow.com. And, of course, you can follow all of the links from today's articles, roundaboutshow.com. We do appreciate that. But we've got to take a quick break here, so please keep yourself predominantly in the same location, because after the commercial interlude, we will be having more great times.
Yay.
With Bob Hall, expert on everything automotive, Eric Tritko from rumblestrip.net, and of course, Michelle Naranjo, Miss Auto by Tell, will also keep this conversation on the boil. Coming up, the great usurper takes control of our Design Hall segment, and we review the video game Forza Motorsport 4, so stay
tuned. What's that?
Well, you're going to have to stay tuned to find out, Michelle.
Oh.
She's genuinely surprised.
Oh.
Well, but right now I'm asking you to visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. If you go over to the right-hand sidebar of the webpage, you can see a lovely little advertisement for Advance Auto Parts. And if you click on that, it's your ticket to huge savings. Isn't that right, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Advance is our friendly folks, our friends. Friendly friends at Advance.
Are they friendly friends?
They're not
and
with benefit
pals.
Friends, though, yes. So if you spend...
They also work at Friendly's restaurant.
Yes, you can get the ice cream cone.
Are you friends on Facebook?
You could be. Friend-a-roo. Bob, are you on Friend-a-roo?
I don't know Friend-a-roo,
you
but I will
be
as soon as you invite me. Yes.
It's beta only. get that invite out to you.
Friend-a-roo is the roundabout social network.
Mm-hmm. I used to have 14 beta machines, okay?
I doubt
you. Betamax?
Betamaxes, yes. I have,
what about U-Matic?
6,000 beta takes.
U-Matic. Anyway, if you spend $30 at Advance, you can save $10. If you hit $50, you can take $20 off that
this
bill.
This is getting better.
Hold on, Ben. Are you sitting down?
Yeah. There's more.
If you spend $100, you can take a samurai sword chop. $30 right off the top. And Bob, by my estimation, that's nearly a third. Can you believe that?
Does it make that sound? Does it go like...
Exactly like that. So, again, to get these savings, you have to go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, and follow the link in the sidebar. And when you check out on the website, you have to enter the promo code, which is listed on our website right below the ad. So make sure you do that, and we will get credited for all of the wonderful auto parts you purchase. Now, if you spend $75 or more with Advance, you are eligible for free shipping. They will deliver your order right to your home.
Wait, that's free shipping on top of the $30 off?
Yes. Yes.
I don't need any auto parts, but I better get some quick.
I know. Do you
they're practically paying you.
You Bob, just want to gouge your UPS man.
Bob, you look like a man that needs an alternator. I don't know why.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So.
Yeah, I do.
You better get on that. Bosch makes some fine
right
alternators.
Now.
So. Advance Auto Parts, we thank them for their support, and we hope you visit them via roundaboutshow.com and rack up some big savings. Because it
it's
helps
a
us
steal.
Out. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks, Christian.
Christian, comb over. Anyway, it is now time.
You're just jealous.
He's at the Naval Observatory. It is now time for our blind spot story of the week. Oh, and news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar. They land in our blind spot, and this week we've got a charming little article coming to us via Yahoo Autos from Forbes.com. It looks like talking about brand loyalty. Which company has the highest brand loyalty in the business? We will divulge that momentarily, and it's not who you might think. So,
who might you all think?
I would guess Cadillac.
Michelle is skeptical.
No.
I also am skeptical.
Well, you guys read the article then.
I say Saturn.
Saturn. Oh.
No, maybe Pontiac. Wait a minute.
Studebaker.
Well, I'm going to preempt you just a little bit here. So just in the their little bullet point images, because I read pictures, not words.
That's a good sound drop, Ben. I read pictures, not words. You heard it here first, folks.
It says Chevy Cruze has 64% brand loyalty. How do they know that people are coming back to buy another Chevy Cruze?
Well, is it brand Chevrolet owners are buying the Cruze, I think is what it is.
Chevy, but it says Chevy. I mean, that means something completely different. It does.
I'm thinking brand loyalty, brand.
Brand, okay, but right, but it says Kia. This is Fiesta, so Fiesta I can understand, like Fiesta, like you're Olay. Like a Fiesta whore. So,
yeah, but hang on, Michelle, just a moment. How could you have bought a second Fiesta when there hasn't been a Fiesta for about 20
years?
Right,
exactly. Yeah. That's my point.
It's got to be brand loyalty.
Soul.
Well, anyway, under the Fiesta thing, it says 63% of Fiestas were purchased by Ford owners. So I think they're talking
about
that would
make
brand.
Sense.
Yeah.
Meow.
Not
blame the editors at Forbes for
Kia. This Cruze doesn't make any sense.
Blame the editors at Forbes who wrote the articles because, you know, that their editor doesn't actually look at
it. They don't like pictures. They like words.
I think they got a press release from somebody and, oh, God, how cynical I am.
Copy and paste. Control-C, Control-V.
I mean, because you look at this, and they're mixing the nameplate, the model name, in with the brand, the mark, and it's like, yeah. So, of course, you can say yes. We found a disproportionate number of Studebaker owners are buying Studebakers.
Right. Their press release was from Experian.
Who? Wait a minute. Is that a health drug or something that may cause anal seepage?
Yes.
Wear dark colored pants.
It was the Alestra follow-up, wasn't it? That's right.
Anyway, who was the number one brand in loyalty? Surprisingly, it was Kia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
I'm sorry. I'm a longtime Kia owner. I rebuy the brand.
What was your previous
long
Kia?
Long time?
Sportage.
I had a Sportage, and now I have a Spectra, and I've been looking at a Soul for my daughter.
That previous Sportage was
horrible. Your daughter has no Soul? Is that what
I had
saying?
The original Sportage.
Ugh.
Original Sportage. She loves the Soul. Loves the hamsters.
The previous generation Sportage was probably the worst driving vehicle I have ever been in.
But
atrocious.
It was the first brand new car that I ever owned myself.
Hmm.
Okay. And, well, no. What old car did you have before that? That wasn't new, Michelle. I'm just curious.
I traded a Windstar in on it.
Okay. Look. I said earlier, the best you've driven is the best you know. You're right. The Sportage is better than the Windstar. Okay.
Exactly.
But
and
is it,
so
though?
At that point, I was, you know, just a young mom, and I wasn't in the automotive industry, and I hated cars.
No, Michelle, you're actually like a real consumer here, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
having,
I am.
But having said that, you know, to say that that's the car you had is like saying you're the healthiest person in the intensive care ward, okay?
Right.
But it's a start. It's a start. Yeah. It's good. Go.
So I kind of pushed the Sportage in to trade it in on the Spectra, which I paid cash for.
High roller. Just cut a you're making it rain, Michelle.
And so I have owned the Spectra is 11 years old now.
And it sits most of the time.
It sits most of the time.
Yes.
But yeah, Henry has a thing. I mean, she's grown up with Kia, so she wants Makia. That she's just like she loves the Soul, and
well, she gonna get herself one. Sounds like
for birthday.
Well,
can we say that the validity of this is questionable, highly questionable, because just to the right of this article, in the right column of this article, it says top rated, and then it says category sedans, and number one is the Cadillac STS.
Absolutely,
followed
yeah.
by the Hyundai Sonata. I can see
Eric,
that.
It says
Ford
based
Focus,
on two reviews.
Maybe.
Okay. All right, that's two old people.
Well, I'm just saying.
I trust two total strangers. I mean, come on. So anyway, Kia was the number one with brand loyalty, nearly 48% of buyers returning to the brand this year. Ford was second highest with about 46.5% repeat business. Chevrolet, Hyundai, Toyota, Honda also did very well. All the brands you would expect.
It's funny, isn't it? Because Conquest is this huge deal right now with everybody. Mm-hmm.
They even give you incentives for Conquest buyers. Mm. If you're a driver, a lot of times if you're a driver of a Ford, you go to a Chevrolet dealer, they'll give you some more money.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm going to quote something from Jack Hollis that I got Wednesday, and he said it's the second part more than the first part that's interesting. It says 70% of Scion owners are new to the Toyota family. However, 8 of 10 people who buy Scion stay within the Toyota family. Mm. So wouldn't that be an 80% brand loyalty?
Don't get me started on Scion. Okay.
Scion.
It is the most fascinating example of defeatist marketing I have ever seen in my life. I mean, it's just like it's.
I know. We thought that Saturn couldn't make it any worse, right?
Yeah. Well,
So we can do a show on that someday.
Yeah. For all the details, roundaboutshow.com. Hit the link. You can check it out for yourself. You be the jury, as I always like to say. But moving along, it's time.
You report, you decide.
Exactly. Fair and balanced. Ben, it's time for In the Garage. Eric has some stories he wants to share
with us.
Speaking
of Scion.
Stop.
It doesn't sound like 71 Continental, Ben.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. When Zach passed away, so did his sound effect.
Okay. We retired that sound effect.
That's a polite way to say it. Anyway, Eric, you recently drove a small Scion, no less.
Yes, a Scion IQ.
Is it super small?
Yes.
They don't get much smaller.
No. 10 feet in length is the complete distance of the car, the complete length of the car. And yet it's tagged as, well, certain people in Scion are calling it a four-seater. Others are calling it a 3+1, and 3+1 is far more appropriate. I have to say that unlike the smart car, this is actually a real car.
So it's not like torture to drive it.
No, it's actually drives and feels like a normal car. Also, for as small as it is, it's actually fairly wide, so you're not touching shoulders with your passenger or whoever's riding the passenger seat with you as you're driving down the road. It basically has the same...
It's got some girth to it.
Yeah, well, it basically has the same interior width as a Toyota Corolla.
Wow.
So,
is the footprint like square?
Almost.
Yeah.
It's not like an isosceles triangle kind of thing, but it's, it's rectangular. But
it's
barely.
Not a rhombus, you're saying.
Whatever. I geometry was so like 30 years ago.
So how'd you like it, Eric?
It was a surprisingly good. I didn't go in there expecting to hate the thing. I just sort of had a lot of skepticism about it. I came away very impressed with the car. It's going to be $16,000. It has a very, very high build quality to it. The fit and finish in it is really quite good. The materials are pretty good. The material they use for the seats is a little thin, but okay, it's a $16,000 car.
Exactly.
Is it imported from Japan?
Yeah, it's assembled in Japan. And they actually said what city and what plant it is, and I can't.
Is it radioactive?
No.
Okay, just wondered. That'd be a bonus.
His BlackBerry Geiger counter was not going off.
All the plastic in it is nice graining or just very cool, very nice textures and materials.
So it makes the new Camry look even worse.
What's that?
Makes the new Camry look even worse.
Yeah, actually it does. Seriously, it's the interior of that is almost better than the Camry in a lot of different ways.
Wow.
It has a 12.9-foot turning radius. So it almost turns within its own width. So I joke in my review, I jokingly said it turns on a dime and it will give you 8 cents change. It has a CVT transmission, and normally that would be, you'd run away quickly as you can from any CVT.
Continuously vexing.
Yes. This one was good. I mean, the fact that it was a CVT was almost a non-factor, which is about the highest praise you can give one of those things. Even what little highway time they gave us on it, it was fine driving down the highway. There were semis going by on 75 and 375, and it didn't get buffeted around and things like that.
It's a 1.3-liter four, isn't it, cylinder engine?
That is correct. Its acceleration is looking numerically is not quick, 0 to 60 in about 10 seconds, but they're targeting us towards an urban environment, an urban audience, where you're just driving around the street. And in stop-and-go traffic, it's fine. It has no problem keeping up with traffic and feeling zippy.
Probably nothing.
You know the 1.5 from the Yaris that will bolt straight in to that? The 1.3 and 1.5 are the same engine family.
It could always use more power, but it's fine. It's rated 36 miles a gallon city, 37 highway, 37 combined, which they're saying is, the highest non-hybrid combined fuel economy of any car, which, given how small it is, big deal.
That's interesting. Its combined fuel economy matches its highway fuel economy?
That's an artifact of the CVT, I suspect.
Yeah.
CVTs are good for fuel economy, that's for damn sure.
I asked them about a manual or a real automatic, and they said just because it's targeted at Gen Y people, and there's about 12 people in all of Gen Y who understand how to drive a manual transmission, the fact that it's targeted for a city environment, the CVT made the most sense. Mm-hmm. So,
very nice. Well,
it was good. I was actually really, really impressed with the car.
So Toyota actually has a decent product now that they're introducing. Seems like it's been a long time since they've had something that's really, really good.
Well, the Scion TC, I think, is actually a pretty good car, too. But
it's good. I don't know. This looks like it.
It's better than the Veloster.
Is it?
But if you don't, the other thing is, if you don't like this, you can always buy the Aston Martin version.
Right, and pay, what, $35,000 more?
You got a little spare money. Yeah, a dollar here, a dollar there. You know, who cares?
I actually did fit in the – I was actually able to put the seat where I would sit it and get into the back, and it wasn't horrible sitting in the back seat behind the passenger. So
better than the Mini Cooper, probably.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting is, last thing was that it has 11 airbags in it, which I guess is as more than any other car right now. And one of them actually is a rear curtain airbag that goes down over the rear glass, seeing as how if you're riding in the back seat, your head's about an inch away from the back glass. So that's good from a crash standpoint and just being impaled by glass and stuff like that. The other one that was interesting is they actually have airbags at the bottom of the seat to push your knees up so that you don't submarine underneath.
Yeah, anti-submarine, yeah.
Fetal position.
Renault did that on the Megane a couple of generations ago, and everybody went, huh?
Submarining sounds like a dirty word.
So, anyways.
It's a family show. Well, thanks, Eric. That's very interesting. Yeah,
you can see my review on it on rumblestrip.net.
On where?
Rumblestrip.net.
Very good. Check it out. Buy stuff now. All right. We should do Out of the Garage briefly. Michelle, you have an Out of Garage experience.
I do. And you guys are going to laugh at me about this one. So a couple of weeks ago on this coming Sunday, my car, my Z3, died. It sounded like it was going to start. And it just wasn't catching. Everything sounded good. It wasn't the alternator. It wasn't, the battery. It wasn't anything. So I just finished doing the podcast for the Primer podcast, right?
Yes.
And I had it towed to William from the Primer podcast local mechanic because I just honestly have never had any problems with my car. And
Turns out you're supposed to change the oil.
Well, I do that. And so on Monday they said, well, we think it's the some sensor on the BBC, blah, 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 like RPM or something like that. And, it's not going to be a big deal. We just got to order the part. So they got the part, and I went to Las Vegas for J.D. Power. Mm-hmm.
For a week, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they somehow reflashed the computer, and my key stopped working. So there's my car in the middle of their garage, and they can't start it, and I'm away. And in order to get, a new key, they have to have my driver's license and registration.
Aye.
So I come back Friday. I have no fax to get them the information, and they're across town. Really long bicycle ride, right? So I was just like, okay, I'll just wait till Monday and I'll fax them everything. Over the weekend, I'm going through my bills and I'm like, holy moly. At the bottom of my bills is my registration that was due at the end of September.
Oh, that's great. So you're driving illegally for a month or two.
Yeah. Not driving illegally now.
Not driving at all.
Problem solved.
So,
Long story short.
They call me and they're like, yeah, so we went to the BMW dealership to try to get a new key once we got your driver's license faxed to us. Your registration isn't current. And I was like, yeah, because I went online to try to register my car. I needed a smog check. But I can't get a smog check without a key to my car to start it.
So...
You can't get a key, you can't get a smog.
You are screwed then. What the hell are you supposed to do? Move to Michigan where you don't have to deal with this crap. No.
Yeah, this basically, I had a 3,000-pound brick.
That you just had fixed for a collision, too.
Exactly.
This is quite a compelling argument for factory service.
Absolutely. So I eventually talked to AAA because I overinsure. I have like State Farm and AAA. Huh? And they were like, oh, you can come in and do an incomplete registration. So I finally got a ride to AAA my boss.
Two insurance? This is why?
I have two insurance, health insurance policies too. Like I overinsure. I don't know why.
That is a huge waste of money, Michelle. Isn't
well,
it?
Craig, see what happens is what you don't understand is when her car got hit, she filed two insurance claims.
No, that's not true.
One with AAA and the other with State Farm.
No. It was all paid for by the hit me.
There is a method to madness here.
It's called fraud. Well, Michelle, no. Best of luck getting that thing back on the road. Yes. There you go, level down.
Have they determined what's actually wrong with it yet?
No. Well, no, because now we have to wait for the key to come from BMW, which is like a
Munich
whole
is a
other
way
process.
Far away.
Those computer chip things are like just so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's not like I have a clicker on the key, right? Like it's just a normal looking key, but it still has a computer chip in it.
Can't they go down the street and talk to Julio, who's got the scanner that just bypasses all that stuff for the chop shop around the corner?
You know, I guess the good news is you can't.
That's good news.
Yeah, because it means that people are less likely. You know, it's not like my 67 Mustang, which though that year of make model, there was only 4 keys issued for all of them. So, like, anybody that just randomly could open your car and take it. So these computer chips, I guess, are protecting us, but it's kind of suck.
Well, Michelle, good luck with that. Keep us posted out of the garage.
Bob's like disgusted with me right now.
No. This is the brave new world I'd have to get myself back into again. You know, after living in foreign capitals for years.
Carburetors forever. That's what I say.
Sincerely, NASCAR.
In more exciting news, Bob, you have a review of a video game review for us.
In this edition of Auto Gadget.
Now, Bob, you are an avid gamer. I understand World of Warcraft is your poison. in fact, we're keeping you from a guild meeting, aren't we? I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll get over it. I got over being young. I can get over anything. Yeah, I'm actually a in addition to being an old fart gamer, I'm a late arrival old fart gamer. And the first game console I got was a NES to play tag team wrestling on, which was just unbelievable. And I got tired of that after about 8 hours, and didn't touch a machine until Gran Turismo came out, the original Gran Turismo. And I was in Australia when it came out. Because of Gran Turismo, my wife bought me the console, and I had tried racing games, and I kept doing GT, and then GT2 came out, and it was great. And then GT3 came out, and I had to get a PlayStation 2. And so I got the PlayStation 2 ready for it, and it was delayed. So I got to get some, I forgot what it was, some punch-em-up, and my wife could kick my butt in it, and I got tired of that. But then Gran Turismo 3
came out. Of losing or of the console?
Of the console. Gran Turismo 3 came out, and then I could go out. And I was heavy into GT3, and they had this thing on Gran Turismo 1, 2, and 3. These guys made this little gizmo, and you could go in and change the memory of a game save, and you could change your car from 115 horsepower Mazda Miata to a Mazda with a 3-rotor engine in it.
Yowza.
and the performance went, and the sounds changed. And it was really cool.
Wow.
I interviewed the producer of Gran Turismo after 3 launched, a guy named Kazunori Yamauchi, when I was at Wheels in Australia, and asked him about this thing about, they called it game sharking, and he knew nothing about it. But it ended up that when GT4 came out, they were encoding the saves, so you couldn't do anymore. So he knew nothing about it the way that OPEC knows nothing about the price of oil. Okay. But GT2 was late, or GT3 was late, and then GT4 was late. But then the big deal, PlayStation 3 coming out, Gran Turismo 5, and I buy a PlayStation 3. Gran Turismo 5, when's it coming out? It's not coming out. It's not coming out. Waited, waited, waited. And a friend of mine said, we ought to buy an Xbox 360 and try this Forza game. It isn't bad. Forza 3. So I bought it, and it wasn't bad. Then Gran Turismo 5 came out late last year, you know, and I could finally use my PlayStation 3 for something other than a Blu-ray player.
You can use your body as the controller, right?
Yeah, you could. But after living with Gran Turismo 5 for a while, I'm not gonna. Because Gran Turismo 5 has turned into crap. Okay? The game was 7 years in development, or 5 years, or 4 years, depending which propaganda you listen to. But based on independent announcements and such, it's close to 7. When it came out, only about a quarter of the cars were done. So they have 2 kinds of cars, premium cars and standard cars. Standard cars have no interiors. The rendering on them is terrible. The wheel arches have a bunch of – yeah, it's just crap. But it's Gran Turismo 5. I drank the Kool-Aid. It was the greatest thing in the world. Forza 4 came out, okay? I am done with Gran Turismo 5. Wow. I am not the GT5 fanboy anymore. Now, Forza ain't perfect. If you like these racing simulation games, both of them are very good. They have some of the same cars. They've got some of the same tracks. They've got some different tracks. Gran Turismo 5 has many more cars, has many more tracks. It looks nice under certain conditions, but certain other conditions, it looks terrible.
Mm.
Forza is just like an eye-opener, okay? It's a redo of Forza 3 where they kind of focused on making the gameplay a little better and also improved the graphics. You can do things that you can't do in GT5. You can turn the drivers into chimps in the other cars, okay? And if you're like me and you're not too good at these things, you know, and let's face it, driving with one of these, this is natural? I don't think so, okay? But I'm not bad at it if the other guys can be partially lobotomized, and this allows you to do it. you can do stuff in Forza. You can do engine swaps. You know, I've got a VW Rabbit with a 3.2-liter V6 in it and four-wheel drive. And it goes like the clappers, okay? Can you do any of this in Gran Turismo? No, doesn't happen. If I want to repaint the car puce, okay, I can do that.
Can you put a flathead V8 in it?
No, unfortunately, you can't. You can't do four-wheel drive cars, make them rear drive, you know, which I like because there's nothing, you know. There's RWD cars, and there's WWD cars, okay?
WWF cars.
No, WWD, sorry. There's right-wheel drive and wrong-wheel drive, okay? It's very simple. But Forza has just taken this thing, and Gran Turismo is still quite impressive. There's no doubt about it. But the Gran Turismo people have really sat back and rested on their laurels. And the Forza people, who I suspect the developers, Forza's developed by a group in the States up in Washington that are actually in a subsidiary of Microsoft.
So for once, the Gran Turismo crowd was playing a Microsoft by doing nothing for years and years, and Microsoft is actually taking
exactly
the lead.
Exactly right. I told a friend, I said, the video games, the car racing games, are a lot like real car companies, okay? And Gran Turismo was the Mercedes-Benz. High quality, good performance. But they've just launched a bad A-class, okay? And stopped building S-classes and E-classes. And they think this is good. Let me tell you, in the game, which was late, they didn't have these completed cars with full interiors and nicely rendered. Only about a quarter of the cars are. But instead, what they do have, when you win prizes, you can get horns. There are 275, at least 275 car horns. When you press one of the buttons on the controller, wait, hold on, that's not the right controller. I need a PlayStation controller. Here's a PlayStation controller. Here we go. When you press the PlayStation controller, the horn goes off. No. Isn't that great? Okay. Then they have racing suits and helmets. Okay. But they didn't do the damn cars. Now they've got like hundreds of racing suits and hundreds of
helmets. Why do you even need a horn to customize the horn if the interior of the car isn't done? That doesn't make sense.
Well, no. Now, hang on. Just the day before Forza came out, Gran Turismo launched Gran Turismo 5 2.0, and it's upgraded. All the cars have interiors now. Now, the interior, imagine you're looking at the screen, and it has a cardboard black cutout masking where the windows would be. There's no detail. There's no dashboard. This is the interior. Okay? Ain't that great? And there are more racing suits, okay, and more helmets and more horns. And this is an upgrade. And it's just like completely – it doesn't address the thing that you buy those games to play them. And Forza is a lot more fun to play, okay? You know, Forza is like Audi. Are they BMW or Mercedes? Not quite, but they're almost there, okay? And they're improving every year. Well, the other guys, you know, the Mercedes particularly, they're kind of resting. Hey, we're Mercedes. We don't need to do anything.
They're misappropriating company funds for personal
use. Yes. And then you put the CFO in charge. That's going to be scary. But then you've got the Need for Speed series, which as if they were a car, they'd be like Daewoo, okay?
What would they be?
Like Daewoo. Remember them?
Yes.
Unfortunately, the Nubira and the Laganza.
The good thing about the Need for – well, there's one reason why I want to drive the Need for – one of the Need for Speed things, and that's because I can drive Bathurst. That's it.
I didn't know they had Bathurst. So they're not a Daewoo then. Then they're a Chevrolet Avia, okay? so they have the benefit of brand, okay? Bathurst would be great. But the courses in – they've got Sebring in Forza, and when you drive across – the curve at the end to the main straight, you're driving diagonally across an airport card stand, and the thing's going bum, 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 bum. It's great. It is just fantastic. And they don't have night racing, which they have on Gran Turismo, and the Gran Turismo fanboys say, well, that proves it's better. Look, I went to the Grand Prix in Singapore at night. It was rat okay? Can I say that on the web? I'm sorry. It was extremely unnice. They have weather changing in Gran Turismo, potentially quite interesting, but the problem is the cars are rendered so badly, even the premium cars, that when they rain, there's this funny diagonal clear dome around the car.
Oh my god.
It's so bad. The car wipers go, you know, that's cool, okay? And you can turn the wipers off, but it doesn't make it blind and you don't crash, so it's no fun. So they've got all these neat things on Gran Turismo, but forgot the gameplay.
Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to have.
If you're getting a game, I sure think so.
Yes. So, Bob, okay, you're very passionate. Forza 4, you love it a lot, especially compared to Gran Turismo 5. Let's quantify these two games. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate each of them?
Gran Turismo 5, would probably be about a 7, maybe a 7.5. It is not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but for the guys that were the class leader who reinvented the entire genre of these realistic racing games, it's a huge disappointment, particularly considering it took 7 years to do it. Forza 4 comes 2 years after Forza 3, has moved up within striking distance of the best parts of GT5. In some respects, it's better. You get in a premium car in GT5, the steering wheels look like they're made out of toilet paper tubes that have been pasted together. In Forza, they're really round.
a novel idea. Wheels, round.
So, Bob, can I PayPal you $100 for your PlayStation 3?
If I'll be honest, if my PlayStation 3 wasn't a good DVD, Blu-ray DVD player, absolutely. But thank God it can do – if it was the other way around, okay, and the Xbox game was crap, I'd have a problem because they're lousy DVD players. but if indeed it weren't a good DVD player, I would say absolutely because I'll tell you, the Gran Turismo 5 disc ain't going in it anymore.
Well, okay, Bob. So you said GT5 was a 7 to 7.5. What do you rate Forza 4 for our buyers this holiday season?
Let's say about a 9.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
And you say it's within striking distance. It could theoretically sneak attack GT5's harbor.
Oh, easily. I think they would do it not using a Chinese designed luxury submarine.
Okay. Exactly. A midget Chinese luxury submarine.
But there's a marketing opportunity there.
It's funny because
I got to say one thing. Gran Turismo guys know the PR. They know it really well because when you went to the Gran Turismo site, there was a big notice there that there was downloadable content coming, which would include more helmets and horns. Okay, and that the producer had finished the 24 Hours at Nürburgring when he should have been working on his bloody game. Wanker.
And there you have it. The junior hall has spoken.
I've been torn a little bit of late because I want a PS3 as much for as to be a good Blu-ray player as anything else, and then have a few good games in it. But the way that everyone's been talking about Forza 4, there's actually a whole drag racing contingent in Forza 4 where people are doing it and hopping up, and there's a whole drag racing series online for Forza 4 people. I'm like, and the fact that Xbox 360 can make a really good home theater in a box kind of extension thing. Now I don't know what to get.
It has the Zune Marketplace. Where can you go wrong?
So what? Huh?
And with that,
huh?
Bob, thank you for your little wrap up there.
My
of
pleasure,
Forza
Bob.
4. Say again?
My pleasure. You say la at the end of words in Malaysia and Singapore. I don't know why. I guess you do. La.
Okay. All right, la.
La. Well, now I'd like to talk about our fine friends at Amazon. I mentioned this earlier in the program, if you recall,
right.
If you were sober.
Bit of a tease.
Here's the deal. Everyone loves Amazon. You know that. I know that. We're not breaking any big news here. You can get everything from ebooks to condensed soup to bandsaws. And, of course, they've got nearly anything you'd ever want for a car, and you probably won't pay list price for it either. So here's what we ask. The next time you're ready to buy your next, well, whatever from Amazon, please think of your good pals at Roundabout. Just go to roundaboutshow.com and click on the Amazon banner on right at the top of the page, and you'll get a good deal, and you'll help support us, your fine friends. Every week, we're going to try and highlight one of our favorite products, whether automotive or not. And this week, what would be better than the game Bob just highlighted, Forza Motorsport 4, for the Xbox 360 console? Like we said, you'll be hard-pressed to pay MSRP for anything on Amazon, and this game is no different. Instead of $59.99, you'll only pay $55.99. Not a bad savings. And if you're a member of Amazon Prime, you get free two-day shipping. Again, next time you're ready to buy something from Amazon, click on the link, roundaboutshow.com, and buy whatever it is you were going to go buy when you were going to buy something from Amazon. You'll pay the same low prices, and you'll help us, your favorite little automotive podcast, that good. Good.
Choo-choo.
Thanks again to our friends at Amazon for their support. Beautifully written, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
He pounded that out before we started here tonight, folks.
And
he's a real Hemingway.
I think Eric says it best.
Buy stuff now. But first, click on the Amazon link.
Everyone to be clicking on link or big trouble for all of you. I can guarantee it.
He's trouble.
Hello, my name is Peggy.
All right, Ben, we got another segment. More Bob Hall. He's going to wrap some things up for us in the show here.
We
Design
call it
Hall.
Design Hall.
Got the sound sting here. Am I supposed to be saying something?
Probably.
I don't remember. So we'll just fill it in with banter. Very nice. I love
so
Masterpiece
Theater.
So what
is Design Hall?
Look at
well,
the design.
Something stolen from my brother.
Oh.
The great usurper is here tonight. I can't tell them apart. They are identical twins.
So we have a couple short takes to start off with, a couple things that appeared in the news. The first one here is Holden restoring its first ever concept car, the 1969 Hurricane.
Or is it Hurricane?
What's that all about, Bob?
G'day. G'day. The Holden Hurricane was the first purpose-built concept car the guys at Holden did in Australia. And GM founded Holden back in 1948. They built uniquely Australian cars, which were quite frankly derived from American engineered bits at the start, and by the late 60s they were really getting heavy into new product, and they had done a locally developed V8 engine, and it was a small thing, like 253 cubic inches, I believe, and they used the Hurricane as the place to display it to the public. And it was a mid-engined two-seater. It had a lift-up canopy, and it had some really cool stuff. It had a nav system. Okay, this is 1968. They conceived it, showed it in 69. It had a rear view camera.
What?
Okay, for reversing. Now the cool part was that the nav system and the rear view camera used about a 12 inch TV monitor, TV screen,
like
an old black and white screen initially. Yeah, CRT. And the nav system,
like the Buick Rayada or whatever.
It was very James Bond. The nav system was going to use magnets planted in roads, okay, because no satellites, you know. It was actually – the thing was it worked, and the car was drivable.
It's a very pretty car.
It is kind of cool for the era. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, Holden's design staff was unbelievably small, okay? They didn't have a full-scale
modeling platform. Short-statured or
– they didn't have a lot of people.
Okay.
Does that work? Okay. The guy, when I was back in Australia, it must have been about 93 or earlier. Sorry, it was later than that. Michael Simcoe is a head designer at Holden, a really good egg, and I think he's doing North American design for GM. But Michael took me out at Fisherman's Bend at their headquarters and showed me the Hurricane. Now, in those days, I looked and he said, "We're going to restore this." And I said, "Yeah, like hell you are." And they did a great job on the thing. And
how
it
bad
is neat
was
to
it?
See it. It made your really bad barn find, okay, look ready for Pebble Beach.
Wow.
It was like, you know, it was almost like he goes, "Well, this is the Hurricane." I say, "Well, which one?" You know, it was everywhere. It was all across this. It was great. And the Holden guys did a super job with it. And it is neat because they've got a great studio down there. The Holden guys do some really impressive design work. They always have, okay?
The FJ.
Oh, FJ, yeah. FJ's a great, and of course, one of my favorites is the one no one likes, the EJ, and I like it because nobody likes it.
Contrarian.
They had good stuff. And
well, something a little closer to home, we got a Ford concept as well that just surfaced from 1994. What's your take on this swoopy thing?
that was a well and truly a WTF for me, okay? Because I was trying to figure out, you know, how did this thing get out?
Yeah, it looks like a catfish. They designed the 96 Taurus after it. I don't know.
I think the 96 Taurus would have been an improvement. maybe not. But yeah, this is it's very unusual in my experience when concept cars actually get out of concept car. I mean, usually companies will scrap them or destroy them, and occasionally they sneak out. And that's why this was interesting to me. Now, having said that, this was launched when I was in Australia, and I remember looking at it on a website and thinking, it reminded me kind of a somebody found – remember the fish that Michelle was talking about, the coelacanth? This was a flounder, okay, that got chrome-plated.
Chrome-plated
this
flounder.
This looks like a design for something that was in the Cars movie. Because of the eyes and the mouth on it, it looks very, very Cars 2 kind of thing.
It's very anthropomorphic, isn't it? Well, I mean, this is also, let's be honest, 1994 was not a high point of Ford design, okay? They were doing some scary stuff back then. I'm sure there was some logic to it, but the logic would escape me.
Well, at least
that was about
one
the only
trait.
Thing they did back that far, the GT90, is that earlier than that?
GT90 was after this, I believe. I thought the GT90 happened because I moved to Australia in 93. And the GT90 came out when I was in Australia. It was a bit of an eye-opener, as I believe, thinking, whoa, you know, this is kind of cool. Because I remember, you know, the Taurus, you know, let's face it, the 19, was it 95 or 6 Taurus, the second generation car?
Mm-hmm.
That was and still is an assault on the eyes.
Well, I see one trait on this truck concept that made it to today, and that's the gigantic Ford oval on the bed, on the tailgate. Massive-looking thing.
It's of course it's offset, okay? It's not centered. If they put it in the center, they could make it bigger. I wonder if they made it, you know, maybe like about 3 feet across. What do you think?
Why not? Like a giant sticker. How about
coming
that?
Soon to a theater or drive-in near you. What do you think of this, Michelle? Would this move on the Auto by Tell pages?
No, probably not.
Number one,
it's on eBay.
Power stroke concept. It's a die turbo or a DI. I'm not sure. You be the jury.
Yes, jury ain't out with this one, and
they're a hung jury. They hung themselves.
I'll be looking for a Gogomobile on eBay before this.
Right. Well, that was the short take of the design hall. Those two vehicles, the Holden Hurricane and the 1994 Ford Power Stroke concept. But we've got another more in-depth topic you wanted to discuss, Bob, and that is the Bangalbutt, infamous.
The Bangalbutt, the infamous and despised Bangalbutt, and I'm sure everybody remembers when the blokes at BMW launched the, which one was it? I get my E numbers mixed up, but the 7 series a couple of generations ago, where Chris was chief designer and had that trunk lid that kind of rose up above the fenders. And it was called the Bangle Butt, and it was hideous, and it was awful, and just people were crapping all over how terrible it was. It doesn't matter that that 7 series sold better than the car it replaced. It was still awful. But what was interesting to me is a lot of people copied it.
Yes. Okay?
Think of a modern four-door. I mean, to me, the most
Camry has it. You can see it on the Toyota
exactly
Camry.
Exactly right. Exactly. And this is this horrible Bangle Butt that's so awful, right? And it ended up that, was it again? Chris is a damn good designer, okay? I hesitate to use the term brilliant, but it probably applies in his case.
Well, didn't Adrian van Hooydonk design that, actually? That's what I heard.
The secret, though, okay, this is the thing, is that it had to get approved and promoted by somebody. And Chris went with it. Okay, and I had heard it was actually rather unpopular at BMW, and there was a period of time shortly after the launch when the only real weather vane they had were the press and the advanced reviews of it from people who had seen it who didn't care for it.
Yes.
But then it started working, and Nissan did a car called the Tiana, which was basically the U.S. Maxima undercarriage with a different upper body. And the original first-generation Tiana is a very interesting car. The interior on it is – I mean, I have to admit, it completely blew me away. The chief designer brought in – and this may sound crazy, but it worked well – brought in this dog, okay? Brought the dog into the studio, okay, and let the damn thing go, and it found the best – it marked its
favorite
model.
It has puppies and
– so to speak. No, he brought in a couple of furniture designers. And the furniture designers came in and did some stuff on material usage and applications, which the designers then put in the dashboard of the first generation Tiana. It's really unique and really stunning. And the exterior of the car was quite neat, but it had probably the most blatant ripoff of the Bangle Butt anybody had done. And nobody bitched about it. Funny thing, man.
It's still hideous, though.
What's that?
The Bangle Butt?
Bangle Butt?
Yeah. What's your design stand? If you were designing a car right now, would you incorporate some of these trends?
No, I'll tell you why I wouldn't do a Bangle Butt now, but it has nothing to do with whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, okay? It's because if I was designing a car now, it would be for 4 years down the road, and I would like any design I would do to last more than the usual 4 to 6, mm-hmm. okay? So you'd be forced into simplicity and not picking something that was too trendy on too many cars now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably go with something a little bit more trad, or maybe even, dare I say it, do a hatchback, because I still think hatchbacks are really cool, even though the public doesn't, you know?
Well, your brother just did a whole diatribe on hatchbacks in the American
market. Did he
really? Yes, this week on Autoline Daily. I think it was Tuesday when he was a guest host for us.
I'll have to look it up in the archive of the shows.
And I think there's an inside joke. Samson Rolamite?
What? Was Samson on the show?
You could say that.
I can't comment. I can't comment on that. Sorry. Can we change the subject? How about The Third Man? What a great movie.
What a great audience.
And really quick, you heard that chirp. Michelle unfortunately had to go. We've run a little long this week, so she had to go without saying goodbye. But
we'll
bleep.
All right. Well, I think we'd better wrap up this show. I think that's about it. But Boberto Alejandro.
Si, cosa fai oggi?
Senorita, do you have a website you would like to plug, Bob?
Do I?
Yes.
Well, I have a website called the Blob Zone that I apparently put my babblings on from time to time, but I can't remember the URL because I don't think I've updated it since 2006. But
So, well, GeoCities is gone, remember.
A frozen moment in time. No, it's still there. It's still there. I went and looked at it the other day.
Okay, so I'll subscribe to the RSS feed and get all the latest stuff
from exactly. 5 years
exactly.
ago.
Just Google the Blob Zone, BWOBZONE.
Okay.
Right. Thank you so much.
Give him all this traffic for a website that doesn't exist. Michelle Naranjo, thank you for joining us. What are you working on the autobytel.com?
I'm working on Autobytel. Y'all, we're getting reviews done. I just went to Vegas. We did some J.D. Power stuff.
I don't know. Thank you for joining us, Michelle. You understand you got a whole herd of animals that need to be tended to.
That's right. I got to go. But also, don't forget I got that Open Line podcast, and you can get that at bit.ly/openline.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Always a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Craggy.
Eric Tritko, rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
When can we see a Toyota IQ review up? Trick question,
right now.
It's already up.
Right now.
Whoa. What about Ford F-150s?
That should be coming soon. I've got that and a few others I need to finish writing up. So I've got four reviews that are in different processes of being written up. So been a little busy and occupied with the other job, which is at IMAX Web. And by the way, if you are a junior content person with a bent towards social media, we are looking to hire.
Hmm. You hear that?
Heads up.
Well, thank you, Eric.
May I poke in here just for a second?
Please.
The URL for the Blob Zone is bwob.wordpress.com. Yes, it's one of those silly blog things.
Is that a .gov? Oh,
no,
I see it.
Yes.
It's got a Buick logo. Oh, that's WordPress. Well,
bob.wordpress.com.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Again. Eric Tritko,
thank
you. It's always a pleasure having you, Bob. And we really mean that. You're welcome back anytime.
I feel the same way.
March 24th, 2008 was your last blog post.
Yes, it was. That was the press release from the Space Hag. I remember it now.
Very well. But hey, don't miss your chance to win $100 by listening to Roundabout on your smart-equipped telephone using a neat little applet called Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com/roundabout. Then, when you register your new account, don't forget to enter the promo code Roundabout. One of our lucky listeners will win $100 each month, and that's enough to pay for your data bill. Remember, you can watch Roundabout live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast if you're in Bob's neck of the woods. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. And remember, we're collecting questions for an as-yet-unnamed automotive expert that we will be having on the program in the future. So get us your automotive technical questions, you know, how repair-related things or maintenance. We need those from you. You can email them to us at roundaboutshow@gmail.com, or you can get in touch with us on our Google Voice number. It's 1-559-ROAB-411 or 1-559-762-2411. We're on Twitter and Facebook, twitter.com/roundaboutshow, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Pretty simple. If you can't find us, just Bing it and decide. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't, you can subscribe to this show on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. It's a great way to stay in touch, keep up on the latest Roundabout. Isn't that right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the Roundabout. We'll talk to you then. Good show, everyone.
And that's another Roundabout.
Sorry I babbled on too long.
No, not at all.
Nonsense, Bob.
Nonsense. Just like
this is big. This is big fun, though. I get my enjoys from this. This is good.
Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts and by Amazon.com. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
Do you want to redo that just because you have Ben giggling in the background?
No.
That was me.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 102, or is that 102? Our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news.
What? Something's going on there, Ben.
Wait, where did Eric go?
He's a fading spectra.
Go ahead, read that one more time, Eric.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 102, or is that just 102? Our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle redos.
Which is going to be one of those nights, guys.
You already?